I'm just excited. I want to get into the Word right away tonight. And if you have your Bible with you, because I know you do, because this is Wednesday night. I mean, we're ready to get into this thing. I mean, you know, we've already had a busy day. We've been at work. Maybe you've even been a little bit like me during your lunch hour, fighting the crowds and trying to get your last minute Christmas shopping going on. I know you guys came ready and hungry for the Word of God. So let's do this. Open up your Bibles, Isaiah 58. And as we do that, I want to get into the Word. See, the holidays. I mean, they're in full swing. I mean, we're under 2 weeks left until Christmas. I mean, it's a mere 9 days. Now, I hope that doesn't stress any of you out. I know it does me just a little bit. I still got a couple things on my list to get. But we're in full swing with the holidays. I mean, people are bumping elbows. I mean, some of the highly anticipated and wanted items on the shelf at the stores are gone. I mean, I know I was at Best Buy looking at some stuff for my brother, and everything I wanted, all the cheap stuff, was gone. And I was thinking, man, I must have waited a little too long for this one. And it took everything inside of me to not take stuff out of other people's baskets to get to the cash register with my salvation intact. It was difficult stuff. But like we were saying before, I love the holiday season, because if we do the holiday season right, you know, all of the shopping and the thises and the thats and the lists and all these different things that we kind of get caught up with, the things that kind of get bundled with, you know, the commentary that comes with the core issue of it all. If we do the holidays right, we don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle. We don't lose the point of this entire season. You know, I mean, it's the played out ancient saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, as cliche as it is, it is. I mean, he is. I mean, no matter how many times you say it, no matter how many t-shirts you put it on, no matter how many bumper stickers you can find, it is what it is. Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, you can't get around it. You just can't get around it. You can't get around it. No, I mean, and you know, I love it because as a church, you know, we're not going to leave the preaching and the gospel preaching to the retail stores, and we're not going to leave it to TV commercials or Christmas specials, because, you know, since when was it their job to put Merry Christmas on their storefront instead of Happy Holidays? That's our job. I mean, why are we gonna give Happy Holidays or the Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas fight to them? For goodness sakes, let's be the church. Let's stand up and let's do something about this. Let us be the light. Let us be the advertisement for Christmas as it should be. So here we come to Isaiah 58. And this whole chapter, God's talking to his people. He's kind of letting them know what's up. He's saying, hey guys, this is the way things should be. This is the way it's supposed to be. And the entire chapter, he's kind of speaking to his people and saying, well, let's refocus. Let's reorganize. Let's make sure the things we're doing are the right things. We're doing them the right way, the right timing, with the right heart behind it. The whole chapter, he's kind of changing their mindset. If you ever have any time, I would thoroughly encourage you to read and to meditate and just dig deep in the entire chapter. We don't have enough time to go through the whole thing tonight, you know, because you got to get to bed sometime tonight. But I'd like to focus on the ending of this chapter. Let's go ahead and read at chapter 10. It says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. It's kind of a wrap-up of the whole beginning of this chapter, where God's saying, look, you guys need to be the church. You guys need to be the ones who are an extension of my arms, my hands, my feet, my heart, my mouth. And he continues and says, if you do these things, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. It gets kind of exciting here. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Sounds pretty good. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Who, get this, whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, capital R, capital B, the restorer of the streets to dwell in, capital R, capital S, capital D, capital I. So God wraps up this chapter with all these exciting things of hope and life and freshness. And he says in chapter 12, where we're going to sit for just a few minutes, and then God says this, he says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. It's kind of exciting to say that there's always hope. I mean, he's talking to the waste place. He's talking to the destroyed. He's talking to the beat down. He's talking to the discouraged. He's talking to those whose life has become a waste place. It's become a garbage heap. It's become something that nobody wants to be around. It becomes something that stinks and smells and is rotten. He says, if you're like that, if you are a waste place, if you're ready to give up, don't worry. He says, because from among you, he shall build the old waste places. And then he says, you shall raise up the foundation of many generations. God's not just talking about a today or tomorrow thing. God's talking about a lifetime of blessing. So much so that it can't just fit within my lifetime or your lifetime, but it'll fit within your children's lifetime and your children's children and your children's 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 lifetime. God's talking about a blessing and an impact that has ripples throughout the generations. A foundation that cannot, will not, and shall not be shaken. Kind of exciting. Just a little bit. And then he begins to say, you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. I mean, if there's anything that screams Christmas, it's just in my heart, this does, a repairer of the breach. I mean, isn't that the celebration of Christmas? Is God himself leaving heaven? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, leaving heaven to come and be born as a baby to repair the ultimate breach of man separated from God and to restore man's true heart's desire to fill the gaping hole within us all. The repairer of the breach, the one who makes everything Christmas. Now, it's not a traditional Christmas verse. It's not necessarily a Christmas message, but I just, you know, you got to put it in that. You got to take note of that. I mean, it is a season. And here's what I see in here. Here's what God was really speaking to my heart. Is that our God is a God who restores. Our God is a God who says, it ain't over till I say it's over. Our God says, just wait another minute, because you don't know what I got coming around the corner. Our God says, you may think that's a waste place, but it looks like a lot of fertilizer for my plants. I don't know what my God says. My God's a God who restores. He could take the biggest heap of, well, you know what, and find the gold deep down in the middle of it. He's the one who's able to move the dirt to the right and the left and find the goods deep down in there. My God is a God who restores. He's a repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. And see, inside of this, I just, you know, God showed two things. It just kind of popped out at me as I was praying and just kind of seeing where to go with this. And, you know, It starts here. It says, those from among you shall build the waste place, rise up the foundations of many generations. And it says, you shall be called the repairer of the breach, in a capital R, capital B. You see, it says right here that our God is a God who repairs. Our God is a God who is a repairer. He is the ultimate handyman to fix it all. He's the one with the right tool for the right job. Yeah, if there's a mess, he can clean it up. Our God is a God who repairs. Our God is a God who can take the broken and make it as new. You know, it says, our God is the God who is the repairer of the breach. And you know, if you look, a breach oftentimes spoke of it spoke of a break in a wall. It spoke of a break in a wall, and specifically, it's talking about the walls of Jerusalem. You know, God's holy city being broken down. It talks about how it was ravaged, it was destroyed, how it was burned down, how the walls that protected it were destroyed. And that's what would happen with an invading army. They would come and they would focus and look, and they would focus and they would strategize on a weak portion of a city's wall, and they would dig under it, or they would destroy it. They'd heave things at it, and they would pound at it until they can finally breach the wall. They can break down a small portion, so their army could flood in and ravage the town, and they could take the plunder. You know, that's the breach it's talking about. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you feel that way. Maybe you feel as if you've been breached. You've been violated. Maybe you feel like something inside of you that you valued has been broken or shattered. You know, maybe there's something in your life that you usually Christmas time's all right, but now the holidays have come and maybe something's broken on the inside of you and it's just not the same. Maybe you feel like maybe you're in the place where, you know, this Christmas is just different than other Christmases. Maybe you feel as if there's a relationship in your life that's been kind of torn asunder. Maybe the life you've known is now just the life in pieces. I don't know where you're at, but my God does know. And if you have a breach in your life, physically, emotionally, socially, financially, in any portion of your life, maybe you feel like you've been broken or violent. My God wants to repair it. My God wants to take the broken pieces. Your God wants to mend what's been destroyed in your life. And if you're okay, hunky-dory, maybe God wants to use you as someone who can repair someone else's broken life. You see, I love what the word repair means. If you look at that word repair, well, the word repair, it doesn't mean to just start over new. It means to take the broken pieces and rebuild something that's already there. A repairer, the repairing in this portion of the scripture, it talks about that. It talks about amending of broken pieces, putting it back together. It talks about a repairing that way. You know, it doesn't necessarily start over from scratch, but the repairing, it mends and molds it back. It renews it with the material that was there previously. Oftentimes, that's what would happen. Is with cities or with walls, they would take the broken pieces and put them back together. They would do that. It's almost like taking two pieces of cloth and putting them back together. You know, I love in the New Testament. There's you'll see in the New Testament where the Bible says God wants to make you into a perfect man or a perfect woman, a perfect saint. And that word perfect doesn't mean without mistake, doesn't mean that we'll never mess up, doesn't mean that we'll be okay all the time. That word perfect means repaired. It was a word they would use when a fisherman would break his net. You know, when the net would rip or tear, they would that perfect word. The word perfect means that they would take the net and they would sew it back together. And a perfect net was a net that was once broken, but it was mended back together to be functional again. You see, that's what the word repair means. It means that maybe you're unfunctional. Maybe you haven't been able to function as usual. Maybe every time you'd look at him or her, you would just get this urge inside of you to sock him in the face. And if you were just so broken inside of you, you wanted to break something on them. And all of a sudden, you know, God begins to say, I want to repair you. I want to make you perfect. I want to take what was broken and I want to sew it back together with my hands and with my anointing. I want to take where there was once hate and bitterness and unforgiveness, and I want to bring a restoration. I want to bring a reparation. I want to bring your life to the place to where you are good to do my will again. To where there's no hindrance or nothing stopping you from doing that which I've called you to do in the first place. You see, God wants to repair you or your situation or your financials, whatever it is, God wants to repair you. In Psalm 124, verse 7, the Bible tells us this. God speaks this to us in Psalm 124, verse 7. Excuse me, 147, verse 3. Excuse me, Psalm 147, verse 3. He says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. All too often we get scared of these kind of things because we've become so used to the hurt. I mean, we've become so used to being let down. So oftentimes we don't recognize when a healing hand comes our way, we bite back or we fight back. It's like we can be like an animal sometimes that's hurt. When a veterinarian or a doctor comes to heal it, we try to snap and bite. We blame God. God, why did you allow this? God, why did this? God, if you were real, God, then this and that. And we're snapping back at the hand that wants to repair and mend us. You know, my Bible tells me this. My Bible tells me this. My God has good plans for me. Plans to heal me and prosper me, not to hurt me. My God tells me, you know, my Bible tells me this. That my God is here to give me blessing, life, and life more abundantly. It says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's what our God is here to do. That's what our God sees when He looks at us. He sees an opportunity. Yeah. It's kind of funny because Matthew 21:44, if you don't have to turn there, but let's go ahead and put it up there. Matthew 21:44 Bible says this. It says, whoever falls on the stone will be broken, But on whomever the stone falls, that stone talking to Jesus Christ, will grind him into powder. That's a tough verse. Because it only gives you two choices. And both of them hurt. It's like, come on, God, throw me a bone here. Broken or powder? Broken powder. Which one do you want? You know, the truth is this. Look, if you're sitting here, if you're breathing, your heart's pounding, if you can look at me, you're broken. You have a choice. Be broken or be ground into powder. We're all broken. We all got something we got to work on. We all got some issue. I mean, you know, no matter how good, how fantastic or wonderful you are, because you are. I mean, look at you. You're great. You're fantastic. You're broken. I mean, wives, you know, something's not right up there. You see him in the morning. Fellas? Oh, you know. You've seen her without makeup. Something broken. I mean, I'm not talking about my wife, because she looks beautiful all the time, baby. No, she does. You see that look she gave me? Something broken. No, I'm just kidding, baby. I love you. She's my girl. Something's broken on the inside of us. And if we don't admit it, well, then we're just going to keep on breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking until eventually we become nothing but powder. Nothing but powder. Look, you either accept it and realize it and you run and turn to Jesus Christ, or, well, you just keep on getting broke down and eroded with time and you let it destroy you. Pastor Richard, or you let it destroy me. You know, we're in the same boat here. So it's our choice. What do you want to do? You got to realize our God is a repairer. And we all need a little bit of a tune-up every once in a while. We all need a little bit of help. You know, it's just like this. You know, Jesus says that whoever falls in a stone will be broken. He gives us his choice. Oftentimes it's like a broken bone that heals improperly. If it doesn't heal properly, sometimes the doctor will have to come and break it. I mean, the one who's supposed to administer healing is breaking bones. It doesn't make any sense, does it? But it does. To either live a life of handicap, or live a life of maybe loss of a function when you don't have to. The doctor, all he has to do is break it, reset it. And all the pain it causes, and the disability it may cause for a time, resets it. So proper healing can come. You know, God says, look, I work best with broken things. And our God says, in your weakness, in your brokenness, I am strong, I am whole. When we are at our weakest point, when we are ready to give up, our God is there in his strongest to hold us up. You know, that's our God, the God who repairs us. You know, look, even the strongest, most majestic, beautiful war horse had to be broken for it to be useful in battle. An unbroken horse, no matter how strong or beautiful or wonderful it is, no matter how much potential a war horse is, if it's not broken, then at the first gunshot or bomb blast, it's out of here. And it's useless. Or dead. You know, us. We need to be the same way. Say, God, look, I'm broken. I have a hurt. I have an unforgiveness. I have something on the inside of me that needs to be fixed. I love it. The Bible tells us this. He is the repairer of the breach. When there's loss of protection, when there's loss of hope, when there's loss there, when something's broken down, when someone's violated or hurt or trespasses, when something just isn't sitting right, he is a repairer of it. And then it even gets better where he continues and he says, he is the one who restores the streets to dwell in. Who restores the streets to dwell in. That sounds like a party. That sounds like a block party where everybody's got their barbecue going, there's carne asada going on, some guacamole. That sounds like a good time. Restores the streets to dwell in. A street to dwell in is one that's safe with no robbers. One that's safe where, you know, you don't have to worry that you got to be in before it gets dark because you know the helicopter's going to come out. You grew up in that city too, huh? I remember. It wasn't time to go to bed if you didn't hear the helicopter. And then the scary part's when they put the light in your backyard. I'm like, oh, mijo, come inside. They might think it's you. You know what I'm saying? The streets, the one who restores the streets to dwell in. The kids can play after dark. You don't have to lock the doors because you know it's safe. He restored the streets to dwell in. Yes. Took back a city. Took back a neighborhood. Took back a family. Took back a life. that's worth living to the fullest. The restorer of the streets to dwell in. Oh my goodness, come on. God, can it get any better than this? I mean, he says to restore the streets to dwell in. Literally, someone who restores the streets so people can get to their home. So they can get to their place of living. God created a path. Created a way where there was once no way to get where you needed to go. When they're not returning your phone calls, he restored the street to get to where you need to go. When your kid won't talk to you, he restores the street to get to where you need to go. When you can't look at yourself in the mirror anymore, he restored the street for you to get where you need to go. See, the repair of the breach is when God takes the broken pieces and puts them back together. And maybe you've been robbed or stolen. Maybe something in your life has been broken beyond repair. That's where our God comes in, to restore. Not just to repair, but to make new. To wipe away the old and to bring in the new. You know, King David said it. He said, God created me a new heart. He didn't say fix it. He said, God, the old one's broken beyond any repair, so just get rid of it. You know, the Holy Spirit said, I want to take out that heart of stone and throw it away. I want to put in you a new heart. He said, I'm going to take out that old dead spirit, and I'm going to put a whole new engine in that baby. He said, I'm going to restore it. I'm going to return it back to its original condition. Like, just like in the garden, Adam and Eve, the six pack, full head of hair, eat whatever they want and not gain a pound. Well, maybe not that far. Maybe not this side of heaven. But, you know, God says, I want to restore it back to where, the way it used to be. See, in 2 Corinthians, you've been around church, you probably read this verse before, but I think it's worth repeating. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, love it what it talks about us who know the Lord. It says, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, the Bible tells us this. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you know what's coming up. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Literally something that's never been seen before on this face of the earth. Something brand new. A new creation. God tells us he's wiped away the old and made the new. He is a new creation. And the old things have passed away. They're dead. They're gone. They're over with. And behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled or brought us back to the place where we need to be. He took away the hindrance. He took away the thing keeping us from where we should be. We're reconciled back to where we need to be, in the right place, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Not just so we can be new and nice and have shiny new toys, but God's given us this restoration. God's made us new again to leave this place and bring this newness and let it spread into the other aspects of our lives and the people around us. Whew. A new creation. A new creation. There's a difference in the language there. To take what was once old and put it back together again, which is good. Which is good. But it's to start over, brand new. Get back to the basics. Start from square one. You know, In Isaiah, it's talking about the repair of the breach and how we're going to rebuild all things back to where they need to be and all that good stuff. And a lot of it kind of talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. It talks about the rebuilding of the temple, which was destroyed and just demolished. You know, and like hundreds, thousands of years ago, they had this temple where they would worship at, called Solomon's Temple. It was Solomon's Temple, King Solomon. King David's son built it, and it was beautiful. I mean, the archaeologists estimate that if you were to rebuild that temple today, it would cost well over $1 billion to reproduce. I mean, this is something worthy of being somewhere in like Las Vegas. Okay, this is wow. I mean, it's like whoa. It's like hey, it's a beautiful building. The gold and the things. I mean, it's just amazing. And this verse comes in Isaiah, and it's just demolished, just thrashed, just saying, hey, look, this place is in shambles. And the people are saying, well, Remember the good old days? They're saying, I remember when I was a little kid, my grandfather used to sit me on his lap and he used to tell me this story about the temple and how beautiful it was. He used to tell me, oh, you should have seen the gold and the way the priests, and they had their nice suits on and with their shoes, and they had their little button up, and they looked good and they were all trimmed and looking nice and fine. And he would tell me about how wonderful it was to come into the church, to come into the temple and offer the sacrifice. And he would tell me about the jewels and the stones, and they'd begin to talk about the good old days, and they're saying, you know what? It's just not the way it used to be. It's just not the way. What do we have to look forward to? I wish it was like. And there was something busted inside of their thinking, because they're looking for the good old days. And sometimes we can get there. We say, God, I want you to repair this. And God said, I'm not touching that thing with a 10-foot pole. You really? He sometimes he says this. You really want that back? Don't you? You really want that back? You want me to fix that old thing? Oh, come on, I got something better for you then. God says, no, God says, leave that sucker. That sucker is dead. It's done. It's over. Bury that bad boy. That's a dead horse. No matter how much you beat it, it's not coming back alive. It's dead. I'm not going to repair that. Not worth it. Now God says, I want to restore. I want to make something new. I want to do something new. I'm going to take that broken heart inside of you. I'm going to take that broken, that shattered beyond all recognition thing. I'm going to wipe it away and start new with a new creation. All things have passed away, and God's making things new. God says, you don't need the good old days. Because really, they weren't even good anyway. What you need is you need a new day. Because you don't need, look, that party, the parties you and your family used to have, throwing back Coronas and the club days. Look, you really didn't even look that good in that miniskirt. You know, I mean, what are you talking about? God says, look, you don't need the good old days, because you forget the pain and the hurt. What you need is a new day. Look, you, that relationship is, you need to get a new relationship, a deeper one with me. You got your priorities wrong. God's telling us, look, you lost that job. So get over it. You need a new job, one that I provide. God says, stop knocking on those old doors, because I shut them. You need a new door. You need a new day. You need a new part of restoration in your life. God's saying, look, yesterday is gone. Today is a new day. It's one that I've provided. So stop trying to get back yesterday's news. We're on a new chapter. God's saying, look, it's over. Let's get this party started. Because I've been waiting. God's telling us, I have a new creation for you. You know, in Proverbs 6:30, verse 31, it says this. Last verse for the evening. And get ready to close down with this. Proverbs 6:30-31. Actually, in the New Living Translation, I like the way it says it up here. Go ahead, pop it up there if you can. And it says this. Yeah. Let's go to Proverbs 6:30. It says this. It says right here. It says, people don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. It says, excuses might be found. You can find an excuse for a thief who steals because he's starving, because he's hungry. It says, but if that thief is caught, he must pay back 7 times what he stole, even if it costs him his house and his whole livelihood. You know, all throughout the Bible, you know, that word restore in Isaiah, that word restore is used a lot of times, especially in the beginning of the Bible. It says, well, look, if someone robs you, if someone steals, if someone kills your ox, if someone does this, that, they got to give you something back. They have to give it back. And every time there was a restoration in the Old Testament, it was always a greater value than what was stolen or destroyed. Especially if what was stolen or stolen was destroyed was killed or maimed or ruined. It was always a greater penalty. So if you've been stolen from, if the enemy or this world, this life has destroyed and stolen and robbed from you, it is contractually required by God's justice and law to pay back what has been destroyed and stolen from you. You see, the Bible tells us this, is that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So get a hold of this. If God has come to give us life and life more abundantly, then that means you've got blessing come towards you. You've got hope and restoration and faith coming towards you. You've already got it set just because you have a relationship with God. But if the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and once he does that, if he does it in our life, he is required, on top of that, to bring blessing and to restore back which was stolen from you. So you got to come from both ends. All right, devil, you took that job. Give it back. I want something better. Because my God is coming to bless me. My God, who you have to bow your knee to, says that the thief has to pay back 2 times, 5 times, 7 times. Well, that's kind of exciting. Yeah. It kind of takes the bite out of whatever you've lost. It kind of takes the sting out of that death that's been put inside of us. See, our God has got us covered. Now, this isn't a... It's kind of exciting. It doesn't mean that, of course, it doesn't happen because, you know, the thief is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But even God himself said, oh, look, if you're not broken, I'm going to break you. So pain comes. And hurt comes. You know, let's go back to where we started from with Isaiah 58:12. It says this. It says Isaiah 58:12. If you got it up there. It says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. The waste places in our lives are there. We cannot deny that. But you shall raise up the foundations of, raise up from a low place, raise up from a low place, raise up from a wasted place, the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of that which was broken. You shall be called the restorer and that who makes new streets to dwell in where there were none. See, our God knows we're in a heap of trouble. There's always hope. Yes. Yes. Always hope. Yes, there is. Always hope. Always hope. Always hope. See, it's not over yet. If you're broken, God wants to take the broken pieces and put them back together. Maybe you need to make a phone call. Maybe you need to replace, go back and return that cheap gift. Get something a little bit nicer for them. Otherwise, you haven't God working overtime on that repairing thing. Maybe you need to do something with something that's broken. And say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to stop fighting it. And I'm going to let you repair this hurt. I'm going to repair you, put back together the broken parts of me. And even though it may hurt for a season, oh Lord, I know you got good things in store for me. Maybe it's time for us to finally let what's past pass us. Maybe it's time to finally let it go. Can I preach to myself for a second? It's time for me to let it go. And allow God to do a new thing. Because look, if your hands are full of garbage, you've got no room. No room for what God wants to put in there. So let it go. Let it go. Because God wants to restore. God wants to restore and make something new out of the wreck that can be our life sometimes. And then I love it. Because even though it's capital repair of the breach, capital restore of the streets to dwell in, the you is a little you. Little why. And as we read in 2 Corinthians, it says, God's reconciled us so we could run with this ministry of reconciliation. Look, that's just not God's job to do these things, but it's our job to run with it and to be agents of restoration, to be agents of repair this holiday season. When you see the family, instead of ripping into them, instead of saying, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time, avoid my calls, it's time to bring that restoration and repair and allow God to work in you and through you when you see those people, when you go back to work, when you get into that interview, when you look at the checkbook. Just don't keep it for yourself. Spread it just a little bit. So if you got anything out of God today, let's give him praise. Come on. Come on. Let's give God a praise tonight. If you needed that, or you know somebody who did, let's give God a praise tonight.